What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 20th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Asa Green River, founder of Borderline Entertainment. Hello, Asa.
Hello, Greg. What's
happening? How are you? Not much. Doing a show, closing out the week. Going to play some games later. What about you?
You know what? Probably the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, first, no, I'm gonna go take a bathroom trip because we're gonna get this through. We're gonna get it done. I'm gonna swallow the frog. We're done. We did it. Do that.
Yep.
Then play some Age of Calamity. That's what's waiting for me.
Age of Calamity. That's what you're gaming on right now.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda, but that is hardcore my jam.
Yeah. And so, like, where are you at right now with Age of Calamity? Have you started, or did you have it ready to go?
So I've got it ready to go. I haven't started it. I just started the demo last night because I found out that your save carries over. Didn't know that. I skipped the demo because I didn't want to be spoiled.
Sure, you don't want to waste your time, yeah.
Exactly. Then I found out, like a dum-dum, that I missed out, that my stuff can carry over. And I said, well, I got to get started on this. So I played it later last night than I should have.
Yeah.
And then, ready for the main game today.
What's the first impressions then of the demo?
So it's a Musou game. That is very much the case. But it has the Breath of the Wild treatment through and through.
Okay.
From the menu to the sound design, I feel like I'm right at home.
Okay. So the thing for me personally, like, I love Breath of the Wild, but like Musous have never been my jam. And so, like, I see people getting excited for it. I'm like, I don't think it's enough to bring me into the genre, but I'm glad people are into it. I'm glad people are enjoying it.
Yeah, this is definitely different. Like, I'm not a huge Musou person, but, you know, like the Gundam one, the Fire Emblem one, the other, like, Hyrule Warriors, those are fantastic. This one definitely has a different treatment. So I wouldn't pass this one up.
Okay, I'll look into it. Asa, for people who are here on Kinda Funny Games Daily and don't know who are you?
So I'm Asa. No, I'm a small potatoes content creator from Columbus, Ohio. I've got Borderline Entertainment where I stream, do video reviews, do conversations, really anything underneath the gaming and nerdy sun. As is said here.
That's copyright right there. Kevin, I'm gonna need you to look into this.
Listen, that's why I changed up the verbiage. I didn't use it.
Okay, just a little bit. You gotta run the trademark.
Just enough. Yeah, vanilla icing it. So there's that side of it. And then we also offer like PR marketing services to indie devs and gaming adjacent companies. So like we're working with takethis.org. Gotta shout them out.
I know Take This, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Asa. Yeah. You're here, of course, because you make great content and you're really cool. But at the beginning of this month, you tweeted out and said, hey, it's Native American Heritage Month. It'd be cool to see some representation on that front. And of course, as the internet works, I didn't see your tweet at all the day you did it. However, it was surfaced to me earlier this week, at which point we booked you to be on this show and make it in just before Native American Heritage Month ends.
Right.
Talk to me a little bit about that. Like, obviously, it's your heritage, so you care so much about it. But like, what inspired you to make the tweet and want to get out in front of that?
Yeah. So, number one, my wife. She is always my number one supporter, and she said, "I know how important this is to you, and I know how important getting Native voices out there is. So, why don't you be the one to do it?" So that was like the genesis of the whole thing, and then the catalyst was just the kind of funny best friends, those Mario, Cam, just a lot of people encouraging me, just get out there, just say it, put your feelings out, see if people respond. We'll see what happens. So that was really the feeling behind it. And then the response was overwhelming. So much love, so much appreciation on my end, especially to you guys for having me on. I know I really shot that shot and tagged a lot of people and was like, let's do this thing in the midst of an election, in the midst of a new console
and everything else. Yeah. Hey, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad we got you in here. I'm under the wire before it all ended. You're like, you're on the other side. You're like, these guys suck. They don't care. You talk about the overwhelming positivity, the support. Obviously, I announced you're coming on a couple days ago. The mailbag was full for you. I pulled this question. Evan O writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you all can. It says, hey, guys, my question is for Asa. First, it's awesome to see a fellow Indigenous person, Mohawk to be specific, to see you get the spotlight. I would like to hear your perspective on how Indigenous people have been portrayed in games. For instance, I'm hit or miss on how Red Dead Redemption 2 handled things and weep at how many others have done it. I hope we can get a big game at some point that isn't just using Native Americans as just, quote, warriors or devices to move a plot forward where most of us die. Thanks and have a great weekend and a great show, Evan O.
Wow, that's It's a very loaded question because there are just so many games that do it wrong. He brought up Red Dead Redemption. I would say, honestly, out of all of them, that's probably been the best one that I've seen. I recently did a conversation called Growing Up Indigenous with my sister, where we just talked about various different things, but that was a question that came up there too.
Where do we get that conversation?
Okay. So, I mean, you can go to twitch.tv/Borderline Entertainment, or you can go to youtube.com/whatever, because we haven't hit 100 subs. That's a thing. So.
You go to lowercase C1WY.
Yeah, 025. Yeah, so the conversation's on there. You can go watch that. It's pretty long, so, I mean, sit back and get ready. But, no, talking about the game specifically, there is, like, a tried-and-true stereotype that it's usually a Western game. It's a cowboys and Indians, even though I hate that word, and that's not the term that we prefer. It's always a cowboys and Indians shtick, and that's really where it stops. You know, we've got a dream catcher here, a feather there. We're westernized as all get out, and that's really it. You know, I think, man, if any other game aside from Red Dead did something even remotely positive, maybe Prey, maybe. Okay. But even then, it's very light hints. I resonate with, I believe his name was Tommy. I could be wrong, but you know, he clearly didn't like his culture too much, but it's something that he grew to appreciate. And so that, like, resonated with me, and maybe that's why.
Is that similar for you? Is that the same kind of journey you've had?
Very much so. So growing up, my parents were very much like, this is your culture. You don't have an option. And so it was.
That's all it is for you. That's gonna endear him, mom and dad. That's going to really be part of it.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was like it's a Midwest Ohio emo boy phase, but I rebelled against it really hard. When I found out I was going to become a father, I just got hit with, okay, I really care about this now, because I want to pass that along to my son. And it had been growing steadily in the past handful of years, but that was like the catalyst to really dive back into my culture. So,
okay. Well, good. Yeah. I'm glad you did.
Me too.
So here's what I'm doing right now as I talk to you. I found your thing. So we're putting in the Growing Up Indigenous. And then we're doing ASA, your name, Asa. We're doing this. All right, so you can go to kindoffunny.com/Asa, A-S-A, and you can see Growing Up Indigenous and catch that conversation.
That's me.
Since you're close. Right now, it said you had 93 subs. So I just subscribed with Kind of Funny Games. So now you have 94. So we can get you there where you can get your own name. Everybody go there. kindoffunny.com/Asa. Watch Growing Up Indigenous and subscribe so we can get him to actually get a Borderline Entertainment YouTube thing. But of course, twitch.tv/Borderline Entertainment, right? To catch all your streams and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Asa, enough about you, all right? It's over. This isn't Kinda Asa Daily, all right? This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Yeah. We're going to talk about Nintendo fighting the Smash Brothers fighting community. 120 frames per second is a boondoggle for PlayStation 5 backwards compatibility, and we know more about that GTA Online update. We're going to talk about all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, you can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your squad up requests, and everything under the video game sun over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Most importantly, you can get the show ad-free, and you can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can catch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like the Lou 55 OM Jesus GX Bidden Slayer. Bill is going fast. I can't stop. You can catch all that on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And if you're there, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
Please.
So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. I miss the table, Asa. I mean, I miss the studio for a myriad of reasons, but definitely the table pounds.
I know, you could have flown me out to do this whole thing, but yeah, it's doing video. It's fine. It's whatever.
I know. Maybe you do well here. One day we'll fly you out here. All right. But don't count your chickens before they hatch over there. All right. Don't worry about it. Housekeeping for you. First Impressions has a brand new episode up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, podcast services around the globe. It is Blessing playing Tunche. Does that make sense? One, Kevin, you know,
No, that's wrong.
Tunch. I haven't watched it yet.
Like,
I haven't
doing well.
I'm trying.
It's getting worse though.
But I mean, people understand the names out there. You know what I mean? Now they don't. Oh, he's trying to say Tunch. Then Tunse.
Is Tunchi the name of some sort of rapper or something?
That is a thing. Yeah, Barrett made that joke.
Yeah,
he made that joke on Slack yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I didn't want to ask. Feeling a lot like Nick, you know.
Yeah, no, it's the kids and their music. I can't keep up.
You know, I'm getting this touched by an angel. How do you spell this?
Great show. T-U-N-C-H-E. You know, that's how it is. No, the chat doesn't know either, so that's helpful. But if we all went and watched First Impressions after this episode, we'd understand how to do it. So do that at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack, Tom Bach. Today we're brought to you by Gabby, Upstart, and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. We got 7 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Wow.
He's got it today. You know what I mean? We're all finishing this week strong. Right, Kevin? Good job. That's a gold star for Kevin.
That's 7 if anyone's keeping track.
Can I give you gold stars too? Is that a thing?
I'll give you as many as you want.
I'll give you a budget of 2 today to use.
Never mind, just 2.
Yeah. So are you using that one? Because I'll give it.
I have unlimited. I invented gold stars. I can do whatever I want. Yes. If you're a guest and I don't know how liberal you are with your star, you would see how it's
I'm liberal with praise, so 2 is probably a good thing to do.
Number 1 on the Roper Report, we have a story about Nintendo versus the Smash community. We're going to Ian Walker over at Kotaku. Tournaments in the Smash Brothers community. That's interesting. This paragraph definitely starts in the middle. Hold on. What happened there? Well, how did that get deleted, Kevin? What did you do there? You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure it was you, my dude.
Really? You think it was me?
Yeah.
Here we go. This year's installment of the Big House, one of the most important tournaments in the Super Smash Brothers community, has been shut down by Nintendo over its use of a fan-developed mod meant to improve online play in Super Smash Brothers Melee. Quote, the Big House is heartbroken to share we've received a cease and desist from Nintendo America Incorporated to cancel our upcoming online event. The tournament's official statement reads, we were informed we do not have permission to host or broadcast the event, primarily due to the usage of Slippy. We are forced to comply with the order and cancel the Big House online for both Melee and Ultimate. New quote here from Nintendo, quote, Nintendo appreciates the love and dedication the fighting game community has for the Super Smash Brothers series, Nintendo told Kotaku in an email. We have partnered with numerous Super Smash Brothers tournaments in the past and have hosted our own online and offline tournaments for the game. And we plan to continue that support in the future. Unfortunately, the upcoming Big House tournament announced plans to host an online tournament for Super Smash Bros. Melee that requires use of illegally copied versions of the game in conjunction with a mod called Slippy during their online event. Nintendo therefore contacted the tournament organizers to ask them to stop. They refused, leaving Nintendo no choice but to step in and protect its intellectual property and brands. Nintendo cannot condone or allow privacy of its intellectual property, end quote. Prezi's here now. While the Big House organizer, Robin Juggle Guy Harn, confirmed these details in an email to Kotaku, it should be noted that backing up your own copies of video games for personal use is entirely legal per United States copyright law. End parentheses. Slippy is a third-party modification built by a group of fans to add rollback net code to Super Smash Bros. Melee. Before Slippy's release earlier this year, Melee players suffered with a subpar online infrastructure that made the 19-year-old game much harder to play at a competitive level. But with the addition of rollback netcode, the benefits of which are widely acknowledged by anyone who takes the fighting game seriously, Melee players were able to finally enjoy great matches with far-flung opponents. The arrival of Slippy became even more important as the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic pumped the brakes on the grassroots tournament circuit, with several notable players singing its praises. Many of those players are rightfully making their displeasure with Nintendo known online in the wake of the Big House's cancelization. And the hashtag Free Melee is now trending on Twitter. Quote, of all the shit from Nintendo, this takes the prize, Adam Armada Lindgren, another top Melee player, said. Quote, It's a global pandemic going on, and Nintendo once again wants the competitive scene to suffer. Is it too much to ask that people can play and compete in games from home during this time? Asa.
Yeah.
Slippery slope where I see both sides of it, right? Because I actually cut the article early today. I'm off my game. I was so excited to hang out with you today, right? It's going on to say, of course, that to do this, like it's been hinted at there, you need to be emulating it. And that's why the copyright thing comes in, and where you're going is that you're not playing like the game as it's meant to be. You're using this thing and going off of a not. So here it is. When Melee came out in 2001, it did not have any form of network play. Adding such necessities, the use of the GameCube and Wii emulator Dolphin, which one can only assume Nintendo would rather not exist. That would make Slippy, which works in conjunction with the Dolphin, a no-go, even if the mod isn't the crux of the problem in and of itself. So that's the mix-up problem here, right, where this is all going from. Where do you stand on this?
Nintendo's doing their own thing. It's weird that they say that they appreciate and love the dedication the fighting game community has for the Smash Brothers series, and then they pull something like this. And it's also interesting that there is that slip up, that little bit of confusion with emulation, because wasn't it just like a few years ago that they were on the witch hunt for people that were emulating any sort of Nintendo game?
Sure. Right? Yeah.
So for the point that the person is making in the article, and I apologize, Ian Walker. Like, we're it's COVID, it's a pandemic, we're stuck at home, we can't go to Evo, we can't go to all of these other, you know, fighting game. I haven't been, I would love to, but I can't. Yeah. So this would be a perfect opportunity to watch that, to be a part of that. And to see them shut this down is just really disappointing.
Yeah, it's another... I get it, and I understand the intellectual property, I understand Slippery Slope, and I understand... I understand all the business side of it, and I understand that there's a reason Nintendo's Nintendo and Greg Miller is working out of his apartment and Kinda Funny is nine people or whatever, right? Like, it's not apples to apples, but it is the fact of like, could you let this slide? Could you let them have fun? Could you let them do this? It's back to yesterday's thing with Animal Crossing, putting out this whole thing of like, you know, no promoting of anything inside of the islands and yada yada. It's like, hopefully that's just bolster talk, but then you get to hear and it's like, this isn't, but then again, we're talking about Melee. Like, is Nintendo still making money off of Melee? And then I guess our concern would be that in some court, in some legal thing, in some jackass lawyering that would go on, that if Nintendo sued you for, you know, emulating the Switch or whatever and breaking that thing, they could point to the case that you've never gone after these kids who were doing the Big House thing. I like, it's a legal ball of wax for sure, but I feel like this would have been a great thing to just turn a blind eye to. And yeah, I know that's impossible.
Absolutely. But. Absolutely. And it, like you said, like, this is Melee. I understand I still play my GameCube, but there are a lot of people that is not the case. Yeah. They're really expensive. Getting peripherals is really expensive. So just let them have their fun. You've had three other Smash releases with Brawl, Wii U /3DS, and now Ultimate. Just calm down. What's the problem?
Yeah, and it's the Streisand effect is such a thing too, of like, guess what? I had never heard of Slippy. I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I mean? And so like, and now you're bringing this to a story, to a thing. I had never heard of the Big House either. And granted, I'm not a fighting game guy, but it's like, why make this such a big thing? Why take this stance? Why not let these people just go play the game and have fun and again, promote? And it's right back to Animal Crossing of like, let people do these things on their islands. Yeah, keep racists out and all these bigots out and like, you know, shut that shit down.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, if somebody's doing something fun to promote something, why do you care? And why are you going to get in the way of that? But then this goes all the way back to the root of how they are with YouTube, right? And the Nintendo Creators Program and all this other stuff.
Which that's a crapshoot too. I don't understand Nintendo's thought process on pretty much anything. Like, I just think, like, specifically when it comes to the whole fiasco of, like, backing up your game with Animal Crossing, and you can only have one island per Switch, and people... But every other game is fine because they're trying to prohibit cheating or ganking the system. Nintendo's thought process just doesn't compute sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that's been the case with them, you know, for as long as we've talked about them, right? Even when we talk about, like, you know, my friends just bought a Switch, and I was thinking, all right, cool, when you get it set up, send me your friend code. And like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, all right, so like, you can't make a name, but you can give me like this really long code. Like, okay, I'm like, I know it sucks, but don't worry, it'll be fun when we get there and I go to your island and like,
let me voice chat with my phone. You know what I mean?
Right? Oh, and I mean, you have to stop everything you're doing so I can fly into your island. But after we get there, it'll be fun. Except we can't do any of these other things. But yeah, it's fun. You know, fucking Nintendo. Nintendo's gonna Nintendo, I guess. But it's just I think that's a 1-2 punch off of the Animal Crossing stuff yesterday, and then of course to come in here and it's just like.
Yeah.
Let these people play the goddamn game. It's Melee. It came out in 2001.
Let the people play. Let them play, coach.
Exactly. Exactly. Number two on the Roper Report. PlayStation is, Wesley Yinpool, Eurogamer, is talking about PlayStation's 120 frames per second struggle. We're starting to get a sense of why PlayStation 5 users are unlikely to see PlayStation 4 games run at 120 frames per second on Sony's new console, despite the PS5 being perfectly capable of doing it. Last week, I, and this is Wesley Yinpool, of course, reported on how Infinity Ward had quietly updated Call of Duty Warzone to run at 120 FPS on Xbox Series X, but not PlayStation 5. Warzone, which comes up as a PS4 app when it's downloaded on PS5, does not boot in 120 hertz, and there are no in-game menu functions to enable it. Activision declined to comment when contacted by Eurogamer, leaving us to assume the reason for this difference had to do with the way Sony handles backwards compatibility. At the time, I speculated that Infinity Ward would have to create a full PlayStation 5 port of Warzone in order to enable 120 frames per second on the console. Now, we have evidence to suggest that line of thinking is correct. Rocket League is in a similar boat to Warzone. The hugely popular football driving game has been updated to run at 120 frames per second on Xbox Series X, but not on PS5. Why? Developer Psyonix told Eurogamer that there were a few reasons for the decision and pointed out enabling 120 FPS on PS5, quote, requires a full native port, whereas just a minor patch on the Xbox X and or Series X and S. Quote, our team's main focus this year was our recent free-to-play transition and updating major features like the tournament system, Psyonix said. Due to this, we had to make tough decisions on what else we could achieve. Enabling 120 hertz on Xbox Series X / S is a minor patch, but enabling it on PS5 requires a full native port due to how backwards compatibility is implemented on the console, and unfortunately wasn't possible due to our focus elsewhere. Nail in the coffin, right, Asa? Get these PS5s out of here. It's over.
I don't understand why Sony has to take two steps forward and then 10 steps back.
Yeah.
Like when you think about just everything else with the PS5, it looks pretty, but it's gargantuan. The hard drive space issue. And this, it just doesn't make sense because it feels like we're going back to an old Sony that just wants to do whatever they want and screw everybody else. And it's not really pro consumer, which Xbox is kicking their butt in that area. Like they might not have the exclusives, but they are very much pro consumer.
100%. Yeah. You can't argue that. You can't argue that.
No, and not at all.
And yeah, that's the thing about it where it's PlayStation continues to almost get it. You know what I mean? They almost get it, where we were so stoked to have backwards compatibility. Sure. But then you get in there. Yeah. And you don't have an improvements like this. It's like, okay. And then it was, well, you're going to get the updated, you know, you buy Assassin's Creed, you get the upgraded version. Oh, great. Okay. And you start that up and it's like, cool. It reads your save, but not your trophies. So the trophies you already popped on PS4 won't pop on PS5 unless you go do that thing. And sometimes even then it's hairy. It's like, okay. Like I see how you're doing all this stuff, but I'm glad you're doing it. These are such first world problems for the new consoles, but it's just like, this is a weird thing. And again, it comes back to what we're talking about of how Xbox and PlayStation engineered backwards compatibility on their individual systems, and how Xbox, obviously with the Xbox One, has so much time and experience doing this and making, you know, all this backwards compatibility stuff of just moving the platform to the Series X makes for such a seamless, easy transition. Whereas PlayStation having to do all this stuff and figure it on the fly is leading to a bunch of little wonky things like this.
Yeah. And I think that gets back to Xbox is, they're not in the same console war anymore. They're playing a different game. You know, they're looking at Stadia, they're looking at Luna, they're looking at whoever else wants to try and do something. And they're viewing them as the competitor because they know the future of gaming. Whereas Sony is really sticking to that traditional console space. And it's like, you guys, you need to pooper get off the pot. Like, this is not where you need to be. You need to be looking towards the future and giving us features that are going to make us want to continue with the platform. Like, this is going to be the second generation that I go Sony first because I want those exclusives. I don't want to play Sackboy and Miles Morales on my PS4. I want that PS5.
Sure.
But you guys are making it really hard for me to love you. Like,
that's the big question, right? Of like, what I think is so fascinating about this console war, this generation, whatever you want to call it, is since they're doing two different things, does the lead that PlayStation 4 would theoretically give PlayStation 5 in terms of brand identity, would having Miles out, Sackboy out, you know, next year having Horizon out, having God of War out, knock on wood that everything goes fine, right? And obviously Demon's Souls and a bunch of other exclusives. Does that give them enough of a foothold right now that Xbox, even with its amazing services and abilities to run 120 and do all these different things, does it put PlayStation ahead of them in a way that Xbox can't catch up to them? Because, you know what I mean? It is that thing of, like, right now, Sony's first parties are firing on all cylinders, and you can see the proof in the pudding from where we were and where we're going and what comes next. Whereas Xbox, it is Halo Infinite. Oh, fuck. People don't like Halo Infinite. Where it's coming out next year sometime, and there'll be other stuff, too. We have all these amazing studios working on amazing things, but you'll hear from them when you hear from them, kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like, is it going to be that eventually the services are able to win out, or will it be that the games keep it pretty par for the course on what it was last generation?
I mean, I think the games are probably going to keep it pretty par for the course, but Xbox is definitely going to close the lead. I don't think it's going to be one of those things where we see PS4 just demolished Xbox when it came to sales.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're going to see that pretty large dividend. They're definitely going to, they're going to close the gap. But I think if, you know, God forbid we don't get a PS6 or we don't get an Xbox Series J or whoever. Like,
oh, the old Xbox Series J.
You know, like, when we get to that generation, I can't say it with the same confidence. Yeah. Because while it is the exclusives that really drive me to stick with the platform, again, you're making it hard for me to love you. And I think that's what a lot of people are feeling. And the mixed messaging kind of harkens to the PS4 Pro, like that whole really like wonky messaging there. And now it wasn't super clear about what it can do. What's the purpose of even buying it? And I feel like if they don't get their stuff straight, Xbox is going to overtake them with that Series J, whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see it. And I think the other thing, obviously, is that we're talking about this stuff, you know, at launch. This is still launch for all this. And how much does this 120 frames per second backwards compatibility matter in a year? Like, you know, I think by then you would assume it would be, if everything goes, you know, the way PlayStation wants it to, it would make sense to Rocket League to make a Rocket League PlayStation 5 version and capitalize on the success and bring all your stuff over and yada, 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 yada. And so then are we even thinking about that anymore? I feel like so many of the conversations we're having right now that we're hung up on right now of, like, you know, rest mode crashing the system or the Xbox Series X hard locking or whatever, like, these are all launch woes. Backwards compatibility, I think, is a launch woe where that's not going to be a conversation next year for the most part, because we'll have all moved on to the next big games and what's coming to the systems natively. But right now, as we try to go over with the experiences, games as a service you're already playing, there's this confusion and trying to figure out all these little things and little foibles and little trophy list problems I'm talking about that when you natively start Rocket League PS5, you know, next year for the first time as a player, you're not going to know.
Right. And, you know, and if you think about it, like past console releases, there were a whole slew of issues, but as the years progress, these companies get more and more underneath the microscope. People are paying attention more. Right now we're all at home with nothing else to do.
Of course.
So we're hot up in the news. So I think, as time goes on, people are probably going to pay attention a lot more, but this isn't the first time that we've had situations like this. So, and it won't be the last.
You know, Wesley's story over at Eurogamer goes on and basically, you know, ends with exactly what you're saying, that it's theoretically that PlayStation could change this on their own on the internals, but it's about switching people off of PlayStation 5 and putting them onto this backwards compatibility PlayStation 4. And again, if this is enough of an outcry, if it's enough of a problem, that could be a thing you see as well. We keep talking about, like, the PlayStation 5's switcher has to eventually be an actual switcher, like Quick Resume on Xbox, right? And so you assume stuff like that's coming and they're working on, but we'll have to wait and see. What you won't have to wait and see on is number three on the Roper Report, more PlayStation news. Jim Ryan says PlayStation might have an answer to Game Pass brewing. This is Dmitry Medvedenko over at TASS. In a long interview, Dmitry asked, how will you respond to Microsoft's Game Pass? Jim Ryan said, there is actually news to come, but just not today. We have PlayStation Now, which is our subscription service, and that is available in a number of markets. That, what is it, two sentences from Jim Ryan has set the internet on fire. Where it's just all over the place. So many people wrote in about it. All this thing is going on. Ignacio Rojas wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, in an interview with TASS, or TASS, Jim Ryan said, there's news to come on PlayStation response to Games Pass. But what do you think this actually means? In a certain way, PlayStation Now is already like Game Pass. For a monthly subscription, you get to download PS4 games from a library of select games, which is what Game Pass is at its core. What is PS Now missing? Asa, for you, what is, you know, there is actually news to come, just not today. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
So for me, it is endless possibilities. This was one of those stories that I saw it. I got your email. Hey, so if there's anything else to add, I'm like, did he put the game past the PlayStation thing there? Because this has me on fire as someone who has used PS Now, which if you're sleeping on it, it's a good service.
When's the last time you, talk to me about it. Cause this is something that always comes up. We talk about PlayStation Now, and my PlayStation Now comments are always based basically on launch. And then this last time, at the beginning of this year, when Blessing and I, PS I Love You, started playing Metal Gear Peace Walker again, I was like, all right, it's on PlayStation Now. And I started there and I was like, oof, no, thank you. Cause it's not what I could download locally, right? It's a PS3 game.
Right. So I think that's kind of the issue right now, is that you've got some games that you can download because they're PS4, and then other games you're streaming. I think when he says that there's news to come, I think, first of all, that's what they're going to iron out. Like, stop trying to make me stream games. I wasn't super fond of it with Stadia because there were just some issues. So let me download those games. I think we could also probably see just more features that are very much in Game Pass right now, playing on multiple devices. Even though PlayStation fanboys were probably going to get super upset, like when their games went to PC, like, oh, how could you do this? Like,
of course.
Right. but I think having the ability to play them on the go, I think Sony knows that they need to step up to the plate, because Microsoft is like taking the world by storm. xCloud is amazing. And they know that they're also not going to make a Vita 2, unfortunately.
Boo!
I know. Friggin' bullcrap. This gets me incredibly excited. Those two sentences, they jazz me. They jazz me real good. I want it.
You're too young. You're too naive. You're just buying it. I don't for a second. There's news to come. It's gonna be completely limp dick news. Nobody's gonna care about it. It's not gonna be awesome. You know what I mean? Like because even Ignacio goes on to say, is it the commitment to have Sony first party games as part of the service at release? Would Sony really do that, considering there's more value in keeping their exclusives than that? No, they're not gonna do the Microsoft thing. PlayStation will say, all right, you know what? First party games day and date on PlayStation Now, when PlayStation is way behind Xbox, when it switches over, and they need to actually drive you a reason to do this. Right now, there's news to come, but not today. The news, I don't expect anytime soon. And because I expect that's the ace they keep up their sleeve.
Yeah.
Of like, let's just wait. If anything, the news I think would be, hey, you know what we're doing? We're taking PlayStation Now, we're taking PlayStation Plus, and we're putting them together. So if you have PlayStation Plus, you have PlayStation Now. Maybe it goes up $5 or something.
Even that is a fantastic solution. Like, I'm 100% with you. This is not something we're going to see come to fruition anytime soon. Like, same thing with their whole VR elusiveness. Same thing with the different colored PS5s and the controllers. Sure. Like, I understand that they've got a really hard focus right now, and they're probably limited because of COVID. But something positive is going to come. I don't think that Jim Ryan would have said that, because he's a smart guy. You know what I mean? Like,
he is a smart guy, but his comments yesterday of like, I haven't heard anybody complain about their hard drives getting full. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Jim Ryan?
You know that he is not saying that, not knowing the truth. I'm trying to be nice to Jim Ryan right now.
I hear you're carrying water for PlayStation. I knew it. I knew it.
These are PlayStation headphones right now, so I've sold my soul. So, listen, positive things are coming. I feel I'm not a spring chicken, so I can look at this with a critical eye. I think good things are going to come. It's not going to be a groundbreaking, holy crap, this is a number one contender for the belt against Game Pass.
Sure.
But this is going to be a USA championship.
Okay. Yeah, sure. You're talking my language. I see where you're at.
I'm there.
I mean, I think even what we're talking about right now, if they say, all right, PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now are getting combined into PlayStation Plus Ultimate or whatever the fuck they want to call it, or, you know, whatever. I think I'm with you if that's a great thing, because I think it's my literal argument I'm always making with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, where it's like, cool, so many people aren't using Game Pass. Game Pass is phenomenal. When you start getting it at $15 a month, $5 more than Xbox Live, you're inevitably going to try it for something. And I feel like if PlayStation Now got bundled in with this, it would be the same way of like, I'm going to try it for something and see what's out there. I think Ignacio's point of like, what's PlayStation Now missing? It's missing those, hey, this is, you know, you can buy this game somewhere else, but you can also get it day and date on PlayStation Now. Xbox Game Pass does that, right? Where it makes deals with other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about big games. I'm not saying it's never happened before.
Right. Let me throw this at you.
Sure.
How would you feel if their big overhaul to PS Now added PSP games, PS Vita games? Right? Am I getting you? And let's bring over some more of those imports from PS1, imports from PS2, because some of the PS1 and PS2 games are on there, but also you can download them today.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. And I think, you know, especially as like you know, we did the Gamescast this week and Tim talked about Astro's Playroom again, and we all start talking about Astro's Playroom again. To come off of Astro's Playroom, and I think have so many people get into it and be, man, you know what? I really do have a lot of nostalgia for PlayStation. And because obviously people sit there with Nintendo or Sega and like, oh yeah, totally. I remember this and I remember that. And I don't think PlayStation necessarily gets the same juice for it. Because whereas I think with Nintendo and Sega, you think of Mario and Sonic. I think with PlayStation and what Astro's Playroom gets so well is you think about the hardware. You think about your experience with it. You think about Psychomantis vibrating the controller on the ground. Like, there's these things that go beyond the characters of the worlds. And so I think, if you were able to say, hey, guess what? It's the PlayStation lineup on it. It's PlayStation Now. It is, you know, it's everything that's happened in the PlayStation, or, you know, a lot of what's happened on PlayStation. That'd be great. And if you could download it, because that's, you know, a huge backbreaker where streaming anything, there's latency. And obviously we're getting better, and you know, with Luna and Stadia and everybody else and xCloud. But like, if you can have those games downloaded to your PlayStation 5 and ready to go, that'd be rad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of PlayStation stuff still, number four, we have a Demon's Souls door update for you. This is Ty Galwiz Rowe at GameSpot. Are you familiar, Asa? Have you been brought up to speed on the Demon's Souls door?
I've been brought up. What's in the door?
We're getting closer to finding out what's in the secret door that isn't opening. Here we go. Back to Ty. Bluepoint's Demon's Souls remake has been teasing players with a brand new secret just for the PlayStation 5 version. Fairly early in the game, a door not included in the original game has made an appearance, and ever since, players have been trying to crack its secrets. After so much effort, their hard work is starting to pay off. Twitter user Vidya sent a tweet on November 18th showcasing new discoveries about the door. The tweet is a quote door update that points out that Bluepoint's Shadow of the Colossus remake also had a secret door that required 79 coins to open. Two different kinds of coin, a rare gold coin, which was added to the officials as a drop, and the ceramic coin, which seems to only appear in the Fractured World. The tweet also includes a link to this video, which shows the discovery of the ceramic coin in the Fractured World. The ceramic coin's item description reads, quote, a cheap coin of dried clay, crushed to recover a tiny amount of HP, extremely brittle and fragile. The glimmer has faded, much like the value, end quote. It looks like these coins are going to have some kind of impact on getting the door open. And some fans in the replies to the Vati Vidya are worried the game may ask them to farm 79 coins to get the job done. Others have been experimenting with what the ceramic coin can be used for in-game, including trading in the series' longstanding Corvid companion, Snuggly the Crow. Some of this shit, I swear. I swear Ty's making some of this shit up as I read it. According to the user Distortion2 in a comment on the Hidden Door Update number 2 YouTube video, the coin cannot be traded to Snuggly. Though, she responds as though it's a tradable item like any other. The coin is returned back to you unchanged. So, that's one bright idea that's been put to bed for now. If you'd like to get in on trying to figure out the mysterious door, you can find it by progressing through the Archstones content. It's all Greek to me, but it's awesome, Asa.
I'm really excited. I love Demon's Souls. I played it on the PS3. Also, side note, still have not been able to get the PS5. It's been a freaking nightmare. So
no wonder you're kissing Sony's ass this episode. You know what I mean?
Come on. That's going to be one of the first games that I play on it. I love Demon's Souls. So to see that there's going to be potentially new content or some sort of connection, maybe to like some of the other games, or just let it be a connection to Bloodborne 2, whatever, you know, think about things. But no, I think that this is really cool. This is a great thing to see in a remake of all things.
Totally.
Like
I just love video game secrets, and I love stuff and seeing a community rally behind it. You know what I mean? And I can't imagine this lasts long if it hasn't already been solved by the time I'm reading this article. You know, you hear it. But the idea of like that there's something cool and hidden, and now the community's in there trying to crack it. That's pretty rad. And I love that kind of stuff. And you don't see it as much. You still see it. There's still a door in Borderlands 3 that we haven't opened that I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, you really don't see stuff like this anymore. And it really takes me back to the days when I think like Halo 2, when it was like, did you see the scarab gun? Did you know that if you take, you make the thing follow you and the banshee follow you down the whole hallway and you get it here, you can fly up and get that. Like, it just, because there weren't online wikis, there just wasn't stuff at your fingertips. So it was that playground talk where it's like, did you find the secret? Were you able to find something? And of course, you know, I lied and said that I got it right away and I've never even seen the thing. So this stuff really makes me happy. Because it's almost like just seeing a rejuvenated spirit into the gaming space. Curiosity, the way I'm looking for.
Kebabs in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong has an article from late last night that it has been opened. A Demon's Souls speedrunner remakes mysterious door. This is Ian Walker at Kotaku, all right? So spoilers if you were trying to open the door on your own. The hidden door in Demon's Souls remake has been opened. And what was behind it? A way to fix the sixth Archstone? A vague Bloodborne connection? A hint about the next Bluepoint Games project? Nope, just a set of armor. Oh. Cool armor to be sure, but yeah, armor. I'm gonna keep reading. This is still Ian, right? Yeah, Ian. I spent most of my workday with Soul Speedrunner Distortion 2 stream on in the background as he picked through every nook and cranny of Bolteria for the remake's new ceramic coins. The prevailing theory was that the coins were connected to the opening of the hidden door discovered in Demon's Souls last week, but no one knew for sure. With only that hunch to guide him, Distortion 2 spent hours gathering ceramic coins, at one point making an educated guess that 60 were necessary to access whatever secret the portal hid. Fortunately for him, that wasn't the case. After building up a sack of 30 coins, Distortion 2 decided to try handing them over to Sparkly the Crow, an NPC who trades... Wasn't that the article over here? Are you telling me there's... Snuggly, is there Sparkly the and Snuggly? Or is that just a typo in the article I'm reading from Ty at GameSpot? Who the fuck knows? Sparkly surprised Distortion with a rusty key. He immediately rushed to use the key on the hidden door, which summarily unlocked and allowed him to pilfer the loot within. What Distortion 2 found was a set of armor based on the area's Pentratador boss, like many other items in the story, is new to the PlayStation 5 game. While this might not be the most exciting discovery, most of the fun was in the journey. Mysteries like these bring the community together, with everyone sorting through theories and experimenting with the game world to accomplish a common goal. The Souls series is special, mostly due to the same collaborative nature that went into solving this puzzle. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy in the end.
I'm not.
No, I wanted it to be cooler than that. You know
I know. You had me going. I don't remember that in the show outlines. You're like, Link to Bloodborne? I'm like, this stuff's real? I was right? It's happening?
No,
armor.
Broke your heart. I had to. Somebody had to. Again, you're too naive. You're too young. You're out here believing everything, you know?
I thought I was past that phase.
Kevin, we're having a great Roper report. So I'm going to take a pause here and tell everybody about our sponsors. Hey, everybody, if you didn't know, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can, of course, write into the show there. You can give us your squad up requests. You can get the show with the post show. And most importantly, you can get the show ad free. Speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Gabby. You know you're probably overpaying for car and home insurance. Sure, you'd love to save money, but is spending hours on your own shopping for a lower rate to maybe save a few bucks worth it? Probably not. Do what a lot of folks have done and use Gabby. Gabby does all the work for you in just a few minutes, and get this, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. Gabby takes the pain out of shopping for insurance by giving you an apples-to-apples comparison of your current coverage with 40 of the top insurance providers like Progressive, Nationwide, and Travelers. Just link your current insurance account, and in minutes, you'll be able to see quotes from the exact same coverage you currently have. That's what plenty of people have done, including Kind of Funny's own Tim Geddes. It's fast and easy, and you can discover how much you're overpaying for your insurance. Like I mentioned earlier, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. I'd bet that'd be nice to have in your pocket right now. If they can't find you savings like they've done for plenty of others, they'll let you know so you can relax knowing you have the best rate out there. And they'll never sell your info, so no annoying spam or robocalls. You're probably overpaying on car insurance and home insurance. See how much Gabby can save you. It's totally free to check out, and there's no obligation. Go to Gabby.com/gamesdaily. That's Gabby.com/gamesdaily. Gabby.com/gamesdaily. Our second sponsor is Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if your loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off high interest credit cards and meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. And then, ladies and gentlemen, HelloFresh is the third sponsor of the day. HelloFresh offers convenient, no-contact delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh cuts out the stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes. Kind of Funny, of course, loves HelloFresh. Tim and Gia have been using it for a long time, and even Kevin and Blessing have been using it too. Asa just pointed at himself. You can't see him, but you were using HelloFresh too, Asa?
Oh, so we used HelloFresh for a long time. Having a baby kind of changed that, but HelloFresh is my jam. So good. I've kept all the recipe books.
Yeah.
I go back to them. It's amazing.
Dude,
it's amazing.
Building the collection is so much fun. Of like, right? Because then you get to be there and be like, which one do I like? Am I going to keep this one? It was good, but is it keep worthy?
That's cool.
You put, if it's not keep worthy, you put in the sleeve in the back and you never look at it again.
HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying with your burden on the planet. But of course, that makes cooking easy because you just go step by step, open the things, put them in the things, you make food. It's great. Everybody has a great time. HelloFresh is committed to donating to those in need. So far in 2020, they've donated 3.5 million meals. You can help too with HelloFresh's Beyond the Box program, where you give nutritious meals to those experiencing food insecurity with just a couple clicks of the app. Go to HelloFresh.com/games90 and use the code games90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/games90.
That's a great deal. That's a great deal.
That's what we bring you, everybody, the days they get them. They get a good one, all right? Now, hold on a second. Interesting. Okay. All right. Nanobiologist is finally speaking my language over here, and you're wrong. Breaking news. Avenger patch 1.3.6 is out. Notable additions include a ping system, command your companions to hack and smash doors, and command companions to prioritize enemies. This is good fucking news,
Thank goodness.
Going back into my hives after this, everybody. Avengers is back, baby. Kate Bishop, Crossfire. December 8th.
Is that going to pull you in?
I'm going to play it for that night, probably.
Yeah.
I hopefully knock on wood, I'll have the platinum by then. And then Kate Bishop, I'm going to run through the story of, but then it'll be like, you get into this weird spot of like, all right, the story's going to take like, what, an hour, 2 hours for whatever they're taking Amy? Like, it's not going to be long. And then it's going to be cool. Do I want to drag her up to 150? I do, but I'd rather wait for new areas, new content, new story, future imperfect stuff they showed yesterday. I will be back for Avengers. Don't worry about that. Oh, here comes Kevin. What's up?
You're going to be back for Avengers, but Fortnite tonight, you know what I mean?
Kevin, you're speaking my language too. Kevin, here's what I'm saying. I know you're supposed to be on Mandalorian after this, right?
Yeah, I can do both.
Just call in sick. Just say you're sick.
No, I'll just do both. They won't know.
You can't. No, you don't know.
I haven't watched the last three episodes. You know what I mean?
Nobody's caught you yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number five on the Roper Report. The GTA Online update we talked about yesterday has been detailed. It's the Cayo Perico heist. Kevin, help me out.
Cayo. Come on.
Cayo?
Yeah.
Perico. Is that right, Kevin?
I mean, I don't know that it's Spanish. Is it Spanish?
I don't know. I'm just going to use my language expert.
Perico. No, I don't think that's Spanish.
On Tuesday, December 15th, GTA Online raises the stakes once again with its biggest update yet. The Cayo Perico heist, featuring an all-new exotic location and a brand new approach to heist design that, for the first time, will let players tackle the entire heist solo or with a crew of up to three other players. Along with the challenge of finding a way to infiltrate and rob one of the most secure private islands in the world, players can also expect new social spaces to party with friends, new world-class DJs and radio stations with over 100 new songs, plus a host of vehicles and weapons, a heavily armored submarine HQ, and much more. Ace, you're freaking out over there. Do you play GTA Online?
GTA is my comfort food game.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, this really hits me in all the right ways. Have you played a heist?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Kevin and I years ago gave it the college try, where it's like, okay, everybody loves GTA Online, we should try GTA Online, and we tried it, and the menus were complicated, and it just was we had
experts on there. Our boy Peanut was helping us out, and nothing, man. It's so complicated, and it feels like it came out broken, and they're like, hey, let's fix as little as possible. Oh, you want to be in a heist with this? Like, you want to be grouped together with your friend? Oh, good luck.
It's a lot better. It's clearly been a while since you've done it. So I highly recommend. You guys like raid type material in games, right? Yeah. This is that. These are so highly detailed. They're multi-step. Now, the setup can be a little arduous at times, but the fact that you can do it solo tells me that the setup for this one probably is not going to be as intense. I highly recommend. What are you guys playing on? Greg, probably PlayStation 4?
We're on PlayStation 4,
yeah. Okay. Kevin, what are you playing on?
He's playing with me. What do you think? And he's got taste. What do you think he's playing on?
Okay. PlayStation, baby!
listen, I'm rocking BDE over here. I'm playing on the Xbox, so maybe I'll just hit up Mike and whoever else wants to play. You need to try them. If you haven't done them at all, you have to try at least one. This seems like it's going to be the one to do it.
Okay. Ignacio Rojas confirms that it's Spanish. Cayo is Spanish word that has to do with islands. Okay. Perico is Spanish for parakeet.
Kevin, what are you doing?
Parakeet Island, I guess.
I mean, I don't know all of them, you know what I mean? I don't know all the Kevin. English words either.
You are our English, our language expert.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Number six on the Roper Report, Doom Eternal on Switch is not canceled. Don't panic, it's just digital. This is Matt TM Kim over at IGN. Earlier today, customers began to report that GameStop was canceling pre-orders for Doom Eternal on Switch. IGN has learned that this is not because Bethesda has canceled Doom Eternal on Switch, but rather is making it a digital-only release. In a statement to IGN, a Bethesda spokesperson said, quote, while Doom Eternal is 100% on track for an imminent digital-only release on Nintendo Switch, the absence of a physical release at retail resulted in canceled pre-orders. They added, affected customers will receive full refunds and should contact their preferred retailer for more information. So, if you've been waiting for that Doom Eternal on Switch.
If you didn't play it any role, they played a lot better.
There's your update. Can't wait to see the textures.
Well, listen, there is a positive to pull from this. It's not actually in this story per se.
Sure.
But do we know, is this game actually going to be a download, play on the thing? Because, you know, they did the Control and the Hitman thing where it's streamed
the cloud.
Switch, the cloud base. Is this?
Yeah.
Is this going to be that? Do we know? Are they going to have that option? Because I played a little bit of Control on Switch, the cloud base. I was blown away.
Really?
I was blown away. I was.
Andy did it on day one, like hour one. It did not. He popped on Games Daily, but like it didn't work well for me. But you played probably more than he did.
Yeah, from what I did play, I mean, I bought it on PC because it was on sale. I'd rather play it there, but I was just curious. And I did not expect it to perform that well. And I didn't feel like it really took a hit in the graphics department, probably because it's cloud-based.
Yeah.
So honestly, in that whole announcement period just got me really jazzed about AAA games on the Switch. I still want that Pro, but I've got something that's going to allow me to play those big titles on the go. And I would be interested to see if this is going to follow suit. Like, why not? Because I Doom 2016 on Switch was a nightmare. So if they could,
nightmare.
It was a freaking nightmare. So if they could do it that way,
you have to imagine that they're not though.
Right.
I feel like you would have had to tell us by now. Yeah, exactly. Like, especially right now as the physical release gets killed, I feel like you'd pop up and be like, Hey, no. They were streaming it, but I don't think that's the deal.
Right. But Microsoft owns Bethesda. Maybe they can pull out some trickery magic.
Don't get ahead of yourself. They've said publicly that that's their intention to buy them. That deal has not gone through yet. That's why they still can't even talk about it. What's going to be exclusive and what's not. All right. It's going to be a download. You got to have all the gigabytes ready for it. Don't worry about it.
Well, listen, I had a meeting with Mr. Howard and Phil Spencer, and we had a good time. And they told me that's probably going to happen. I'm making imaginary moves here, friends.
Closing out the Roper Report for the week is number 7. Annapurna makes some obvious delays. Annapurna Interactive tweeted, some news, you may have seen a very broad 2020 release window for The Artful Escape, 12 minutes and last stop in trailers or on store pages in the past. So it's almost December and the end of the year. We're looking at 2021 now as they all get closer to getting ready. Smiley emoji. Don't know if anybody was sitting out there like thinking it was still going to happen. But of course, we're big 12 minutes fans here. We did a Let's Play in 2015 of it. So you can catch that on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and wait for these games in 2021. I just like the idea that like some Annapurna is like, oh, shit. Somebody looked over the clock like, oh, fuck. We said something was going to happen. Didn't we? Shit, fuck. We got to tell people it's not going to happen.
Can we not tell people?
Asa.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited to play 12 minutes when it's finally out.
I am too. That is, but out of this list, I don't know the other two games. So
sure, yeah, but it doesn't even matter for where we're going. But 2021 is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts. Like myself, each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Out today, Katamari Damacy Reroll, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Damn. Mycetopia, PlayStation 4, Xbox One and Switch. Brawl Chess, Xbox One. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, Switch. Cave Digger, Xbox One. Ramp Care Jumping, Switch. Fall Gummies on Switch. Sniper, but it's all got the periods in between the letters. Hunter Scope on Switch. Fantasy Friends on Switch. Captain Sabretooth and the Magic Diamond on Switch. Blood Rain Terminal Cut on PC. Raid Field 2 is out on Steam. The Skylia Prophecy is out today on Steam. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has an update that delivers newly added AR features, expanded areas for decorating, and a free month subscription to Animal Crossing's Pocket Camp's subscription service. But more importantly, let's talk about Gears 5. Beginning today, WWE superstars Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Woods make their debut as multiplayer characters in Gears 5. The New Day pack includes the WWE superstars in custom COG armor, inspired by their flashy ring gear, unique weapon skins, and over 700 lines of newly recorded battle chatter. The New Day pack is available for free through the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate Perks program through December 4th, or it can be purchased separately in the Microsoft Store or Steam stores for $19.99.
Wow.
It's a new day.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Oh my gosh. That's, wow. Hats off to them. That's incredible.
Talk about making your dreams come true.
Seriously. And, you know, I highlighted something, Greg. I know you're over there doing some calisthenics, stretching for the next show.
No, I'm turning on my Xbox. I'm going to download this so I don't forget, because I'll forget I don't do it now. And I have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. I'm not paying for Xavier Woods.
No. And that's a real thing. Listen, I missed the Batista. I had to pay for that.
Oh, no.
It was a nightmare. So, hold on. Listen, I'm using you as an excuse. I'm downloading via my phone.
Oh, yeah, I could have done that, couldn't I? Yeah,
you could have.
This is cooler, though, you know what I mean? If you're going to slow down the show, at least you're giving them a little tease.
It's, yeah, that's a very little tease.
Use Xbox Game Pass, you know what I mean?
Greg, all you have to do is buy the gradient, the hue gradient, and then all the lights would be cool. It's just like a $500 investment.
Wait, $500? Are you talking about the little Philips light strips? Is that what you're saying?
The what?
Like the Philips, they do the
yeah, they do, light so strips. They do a specific light strip that is very expensive because that's what Hue does. They overprice everything. Yes. But everything works really well together and is for the most part like kind of easy to do. Okay. And that's, you know, you're paying for the convenience. But yeah, you have to buy a Hue sync box that doesn't support 120 hertz. And then
That's the problem.
Greg's not playing 120 hertz, you know, and if he wants to switch over to 120 hertz, what's up?
I could be if I wanted to.
But you're not. Play. You're not, you know what I mean? But yeah, you could be.
What do I do?
What do you do? You got to play a game that's 120. You don't care about that.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Even now I play 60. Now that I've been playing Spider-Man at 60, it's like, oh, fuck, this is real good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Jump to the PC family. That's pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you got to worry about updates and, well, my controller doesn't work because you're supposed to use a mouse and keyboard.
No. Listen, Kev, I got it right here. I love showing this baby off because this is my dedicated controller that I use to play Avengers on PC. I use this is a special edition Tron controller that lights up.
I like the white. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bright blue when I plug it in. Let me see if I can get it to work. Yeah,
get it plugged in. I didn't know this would take Greg 5 minutes, but here we are.
Oh, no, I'm making captures too. I'm having fun times.
Oh, good.
The light. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Doesn't it look good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
It's funny. The blue very much looks like a PlayStation thing, though. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it does. And I sometimes pretend that. Isn't there because I'm playing on PC. I don't want to be confused.
Sure.
Poor guy. Poor thing. Stretch that cord a little too far. Sorry, we're doing a show. We got to focus here.
New dates for you. Fireworks Mania is coming to Steam on December 17th. Deals of the day for you. Let's talk about the games you can play for free on Xbox right now. Raise your fist for the ultimate battle. Tame your own dinosaur in a survival epic. And join the ultimate team-based shooter all in this weekend's free play days. Tekken 7, Ark Survival Evolved, and Overwatch Origins Edition are available for Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members to play from right now until Sunday night at midnight. So get in there. Go for it. Have some fun.
Do it.
We ask people watching to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where, of course, you can write it to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can be part of the post-show. But most importantly, you can write in for squad up. That's what Joe Dips today did. Joe Dips writes in for a squad up. He wants a squad up in Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go friend code is 11772057711. You remember all that. Don't worry. You got it, Asa. Right up there. Steel trap. Howdy, y'all. I'm looking for some help from the best friends out there to get to level 40 by the end of the year. I'm halfway there and could surely use some help from that sweet, sweet level cap. To get that sweet, sweet level cap. Mm-hmm. Anyways, looking to help out some new remote raid partners as well, so we can all get that sweet Gyarados cap and emblem together. Much obliged. Did I nail it? I feel like I nailed it.
Gyarados.
But they put a Y in there.
So Gyarados.
They put a Y silent.
Come on, you saw the Pokemon Detective movie, right? You
Gyarados.
And they say Gyarados at some point. Come on,
Kevin,
dude.
They say so much shit in that movie, I can't remember it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can remember every word of every song you've ever heard.
Because songs are great. And Gyarados here, he sucks. What's he look like? Which one's Gyarados?
He looks like a big dragon, kind of serpent dragon.
He's Charizard.
No, he's not
red. That's a red, like I said, dragon. A serpent-style dragon.
Hold up right there.
That's a red Gyarados. He's trying to show off.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I was over here flexing, being like, look, I got me the red one. We're proud of you, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, remember, you can write in as you watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you can tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. We were good about correcting as we went today. Fernando doesn't agree that Carico is Spanish. He says he thinks it's Italian or Portuguese.
There you go. Portuguese this was my guess. I didn't want to.
That's kind of just like bringing the chat over. I don't know if that's. You're wrong. I think it's this or that. That's not really a correction. And then Voting Block says that Last of Us has officially been ordered. The series has officially been ordered by HBO. Let me give a quick check on that. Yeah, we're over on David Iskoff's thing here. Yeah, HBO says it's given an order to The Last of Us. So congratulations. We are getting that Last of Us show, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Asa, not excited. Could be better, could be worse kind of situation. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Don't forget that each and every weekday on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, and most importantly, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, we give you the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Next week, I can talk to you about the hosts. I did not prep it ahead of time, though, so this is me killing time while I open it up and go to Google Doc, and I go, oh, no, I did prep it.
Bless
it
him,
looks like
bless
I didn't prep
Greg.
It, but I did prep it. Fuck you, Greg. You're wrong. Monday, it's going to be Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, it's going to be Blessing and me. And then Wednesday through Friday, we are off for Thanksgiving here in the United States. So that's just two work days next week, Tuesday or Monday and Tuesday. Blessing in Tim, blessing in Greg. If you're watching live on Twitch right now as we record this show, remember Screencast is up next. It's going to be a review there of The Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 4. Of course, if you want more gaming coverage, come on over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where we're about to do the post show for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Asa, before we go, yes, where can people keep up with you?
All right. If you want to keep up with me personally, you can find me on Twitter at agreenriver07. Some people have been finding me on Instagram. It is the same thing there, but it's a little bit more personal. So I vet people.
You're like, they're finding me on Instagram. Please don't.
If you're a Kind of Funny best friend that we've like communicated a lot, obviously I've added you over there. But yeah, sure. Twitter is the main place to find me. But if you could, I implore you, Borderline Entertainment, search on all your social media platforms, on YouTube, on Twitch. I'm working really hard over there, trying to make something special. And yeah, and you know what? If I can I plug one more thing? Is that
possible? Please, you can plug anything you want.
Okay, so Native American Heritage Month is the reason why I'm here. First of all, thank you again, guys, for having me here. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, because it's more, this isn't about me. This is about so much more. And I'm happy to be that representative for the community. But next weekend, I'm doing part two of Growing Up Indigenous, but it's going to be a panel with Native and Indigenous creators, and not just creators, but people in the video game industry as a whole. We're building that out. I've got a few people that I want to shout out right now that are going to be on it. The RPG Gamer, and that's at BaronJ67. He's a writer for Level One Gaming. Lexi Graves is a community manager for Plague Universe, and Shannon Baker is a Twitch streamer. So we're going to have a few more folks on there, but it's going to be a great conversation to round out the month. And yeah, we just hope you can stop by and learn something. So.
That's awesome. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to kindoffunny.com/Asa, A-S-A. You can catch Growing Up Indigenous right now, episode one with him and his sister. Worth pointing out, you are now 156 subscribers.
So you can
officially get your YouTube URL you want to get, because the Kind of Funny best friends have come through and done that. Don't stop, obviously. Continue to go to kindoffunny.com/Asa. Subscribe, like the video, leave a nice comment, and get to watch this. You're a good dude, Asa.
Maybe it's having a kid. I get really emotional really quick.
But I have no excuse. I get emotional all the time, so don't worry about it.
Wow, that's, yeah. I literally have no words. I'm dumbfounded. So thank you so much.
Just do me a favor and pull the fuck together, because you have to come do a post show right now. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames.
Sound nicer,
ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.